Once I met this girl. She was a pretty nice girl, and she attended church regularly. In fact, she was even active in youth group and took part in Bible studies. She claimed to know Christ, but then something really strange started happening. I think the way it began, and this was as it was related to me because I got to know her just a little bit later, but she began to actually preach as if, and quote scripture, as if she'd been to Bible college or seminary or something like that. But what happened was pretty soon her preaching turned into some of these really strange visions that she started to have. And pretty soon these visions started tormenting her. And, by the time I met her, she was really experiencing what I would call full violent, full-blown demon possession. Friends, welcome to Now is the Time. This is the podcast where we talk about how God is the one and only one whom we should worship and how we should use our lives right now to worship Him. And in this episode of Now is the Time, I, your host, Caleb Succo, am going to be talking to you about demon possession and Christians. I think it's an important topic. It is something that has certainly popped up in our church recently quite a bit, which has set me to studying it more. But I also want to share with you a story, the story that I kind of started this podcast with, about this girl that I met who I would definitely say had all the signs of full-blown demon possession. And I spent a few days with her and participated in an exorcism. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit more in detail about that story, not just because it's something extraordinary or something that I'm going to, tell you that I learned about how to deal with demons through that story, but for another reason. I think it's applicable to the topic of Christians and demon possession. After all, this girl did say that she was a Christian. And certainly, what I saw, she was demon possessed. But before we get too much into that, I want to share with you a book. I told you last week I'm going to be doing a little book section in the podcast. And, here's the thing. I sometimes read, two or three books at once. And I picked up this little book, which is called Fighting Satan: Knowing His Weaknesses, Strategies, and Defeat by Joel Beek. I didn't even know I had this book, friends, and I've been studying this topic of spiritual warfare and demon possession for the last couple of weeks. In fact, I wrote a blog post just recently, a few days ago, called How to Cast Out Demons Like Jesus. And this is in response to a couple of, some ongoing problems we've had with some exorcisms in our church, teaching on exorcism that I think is unbiblical, and also I think some satanic manifestations, demonic manifestations in our church recently. And so I was looking for resources and I opened up one of my shelves here, and lo and behold, here's this book, Fighting Satan: Knowing His Weaknesses, Strategies, and Defeat. Whoa, that's what I need to read. Of course, I'm studying the Bible. I'm not saying that I won't read the Bible, but this I have found a very, very good book. And I actually read it all in one day. I highlighted just about every other page, if not more than that. It is not a big book. It's just about 140 pages, 135, something like that. It gets right to the point. And this author, Joel Beek, I think that's how you say his name, is Beeke. I would say that, he's very biblical in his approach, very practical. Part one talks about knowing the enemy, who is Satan, what are his names in the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, stuff like that. And then knowing Satan's weaknesses and his strategies, what I found really interesting actually was he talks about knowing Satan's strategies, his devices, and their remedies. And he goes through these different devices, like one by one. I can read for you a couple of them here if I can open it up here quickly. Building. Oh, hold on. I passed it already. Okay, hold on. I gotta find the page. Knowing Satan's strategies, his devices, and remedies. Okay, page 67. Anyway, so what he does in this section is that he just gives like one. Here's Satan's device, and here's what you can do about it. Here is what Satan tries to do, and here is how you can respond to it. So just like super, super practical stuff. So he says, for instance, strategy one, Satan entices us to sin. Device, Satan offers the bait of pleasure that hides the hook of sin. And then he goes on to, you know, explain how that works. And then remedies. And he says, number one, remember the consequences of yielding to temptation. Number two, don't play with fire if you know you are weak. And I'm just, you know, reading the main points here. And he gives five different ways to avoid this device of Satan. So just very, very practical when it comes right down to it and very biblical. So anyway, I don't want to go too much into that. But what I want to say is this is a really good book. I read it all this today, like in about 2.5 hours. And I want to give you a copy. So here's what you can do. If you want to copy this book, I have three copies of this book, and I'm keeping one for myself because it's a good reference book to have, okay? But I'm going to give two copies away, and all you have to do is two things. One, share, go to sukofamily.org. This is season 2, episode 5 of Now's the Time podcast. Find the post on my website, share it, and you know, share it on Facebook, Twitter, wherever, one of your social networks. And then just let me know in the comments that you did that and say, hey, Caleb, I'd like to have a copy of this book called Fighting Satan, okay? And I will just mail that out to you wherever you are in the world. Well, what I'll do is, because most likely there'll be more than two people that want that, there's only two people, I'll just mail it to those two people. If there's more than two people, then I will just, I don't know, I'll write the names on some paper and like throw them in a hat or something, shake them around. I'll pull two names out. And I will let you know next week on the podcast who is getting these books. So anyway, I hope you'll find that helpful. If you don't win the free book, pick it up on Amazon. I'll have a link there in the show notes. Really good, practical, biblical stuff. Okay, so let's get straight into the content here for this episode of Now's the Time. Casting out demons in Christians, you know, it's actually quite common today, maybe more common than you would think. And I want to just start by talking about some of the dangers of this approach of believing, thinking, trying to cast demons out of Christians. And first of all, I think that this really is something that makes Christians fearful, needlessly fearful, because they start thinking that, oh man, I've got a problem with this or that, or I don't know, maybe got a little angry or something, and maybe that's because I have a demon and I need somebody to cast that demon out. And you know, what does the Bible say? Perfect love casts out fear. There shouldn't be any need for fear in a believer who has their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He is greater. The Holy Spirit is greater. He is the creator of demons and the devil. There's no need to fear these things. And I think that when exorcism of demons from believers, from Christians, really creates sort of this atmosphere of fear. Maybe it's a demon that's causing me to do this or something like that, and that's just wrong, folks. So the next danger that I see in casting demons out of believers is that it makes Christians often look for help outside of Scripture and outside of God. And what I mean, and this is honestly for those modern day exorcists, you know, people that call themselves exorcists, but there's no, never in Scripture is there anyone ever called an exorcist. It's not a ministry. It's not a scriptural ministry to be an exorcist. Nobody in Scripture ever went looking to cast out demons. And like I've heard some of these modern day exorcists say that they've, you know, cast out like thousands of demons or tens of thousands or whatever, you know. There is no ministry of exorcism in the Bible. And so what happens when Christians think that they have a demon? They begin to look for help outside of Scripture and outside of God. They begin to look for help from some sort of guru exorcist who might be able to get this demon out of them. And that is just wrong. We need to go to Scripture. We need to go to God in these things, okay? Another danger that I see is just that sometimes simply, you know, saying that, well, you know, this is a demon causing this, Christians just excuse their sin. When maybe it's just a pure sin issue that they have, and they are sitting here saying it's a demon and I've got to find an exorcist so that I can get rid of this problem, when what they really need to do is just repent of that particular sin that they have and go to God and go to the Scripture and get grounded and change their lives. We can't just excuse sin like this, and that is a huge danger of those who say that Christians can be possessed by demons. Another very real danger of this whole idea of casting demons out of Christians is that it can sometimes result in, I've read testimonies where this has happened, result in trapping a Christian in this sort of downward spiral of repeating problems. What do I mean by that? Okay, let's say Christian thinks that he has a demon. He thinks he needs to go to an exorcist to find someone to exorcise this demon because he's got a problem with anger, okay? And finally he finds an exorcist and he goes to that exorcist and the exorcist does all these crazy things and there's yelling and screaming and he's hitting them on the back with a Bible and all that kind of stuff. And then in the end, all of a sudden, there's this release, and the person feels so much better, and the demon of anger is gone. Praise the Lord. Well, what just happened there, really? If that's a believer, then it wasn't a demon. Their anger is just simply a sin problem. And if that's true, then what they did was nothing more than just some sort of emotional frenzy, and they didn't really solve the problem. Maybe the person feels good for a little bit, but what I can tell you is that problem will return, and it will return fiercer than it was before. Maybe that problem won't return. Maybe a different problem will return because they're not taking care of their sin in a scriptural way, which is confession and repentance and changing the way you think through Scripture and prayer and fellowship with other believers, okay? And so you just, these believers end up in this spiral. Okay, I got rid of my anger problem, and then the next problem pops up, and it's worse than before, and now I got to find somebody else to exorcise that demon, and it's really a bad deal. Okay, two more dangers, and then we're going to move on, okay? The next danger is this. When we talk about exorcising demons from believers, sometimes we have really unbelievers, okay? I really do believe that sometimes in these situations, it's just a person who confesses Jesus, but it's an unbeliever. And by the way, I'm still going to finish that story I started this podcast with, okay? And we'll get to that in just a little bit. So sometimes it's really unbelievers, who just call themselves believers. And I believe that when it's an unbeliever and you start, you know, trying to get to these demons and stuff, I think that you can actually cause more demonic harm to them than good. And you may actually open them up to real demon possession. And so we have to be careful of that. And then the final danger of this casting demons out of believers is simply that it belittles Jesus' saving power. Folks, When Jesus saves, he saves completely. He saves us from the power of the devil and his demons. And so when we somehow think that, okay, I'm saved, but I still got this problem with demons, and I understand we have sin problems practically that we need to work out, but God has cut that cord. The demons cannot possess us and demonize us if we are in Christ. They simply cannot. And I will give you a few more reasons why biblically I think that's so here in a couple of minutes. But I think it belittles Jesus' saving power, okay? All right. Let me finish that story that I just started with this podcast with, okay? If you remember, I was talking about this girl that I met. This was actually a situation that happened down in Brazil about 20 years ago. And we had actually been called specifically out to a tribe, an Indian tribe, where they had been having a rather difficult problem with a number of people who had experienced demonization. That's, you know, really the scriptural term, demonization, or having an evil spirit, okay? And so I went out there with a missionary, and we met this girl. We saw this girl. In fact, I lived in the same house with this girl. And she certainly was, I believe, possessed or demonized. The demons would come, and they would go. And when they came, it was often violent fits. The demons called themselves the demons of Bruce Lee, and I believe it because she would try to punch. And there was some real strange stuff that went on. But ultimately, her help came. We ended up removing her from the tribal situation where she was, which is a very demonic, oppressive area. It had a lot of people that were specifically seeking demonic interactions, a lot of hallucinative drug use also. And we ended up removing her from the tribal area. And we took her to a church. And, you know, it wasn't really until that she got to the church and she really, I think, finally put her faith in Christ that she got relief from those demons. So even though she said that she was a Christian at that time when I was with her, I don't think that she was. There wasn't really any specific evidence besides just the fact that she said that she was. And why do I think that? And the reason why I hesitate sometimes to share, let's say, experiences I've had where I've seen demonic powers at work is because I don't want to build my theology of how demons work based only upon those experiences. What I want is I want to base my theology upon God's word and then see my experiences through that theology. That's the approach that the Christian needs to have. God's word is the final authority. And so as I study scripture, what do I find? First of all, I find that there are no cases of believers being possessed in the New Testament, not a single case. There is no evidence that any of the people that Jesus cast demons out of in the New Testament were believers. In fact, quite the opposite. Another reason why I don't think that believers, Christians, true Christians, can be possessed by demons is simply because of what it says in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and let me read a little bit of the context here. It says, "The believer is the temple of God, and light and darkness can't dwell together." I mean, that's the gist of it, okay? Let me read for you here, okay? 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17. Paul says, "Stop becoming unevenly yoked with unbelievers. What partnership can righteousness have with lawless? What fellowship can light have with darkness?" So he's saying, be careful about your partnership with unbelievers, because you're children of God, you're children of the light, and that's darkness, you know. What fellowship can light have with darkness? Well, when light comes into a dark room, darkness leaves, right? It can't be in the same place at the same time. It just can't, okay? And so Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. He says, what harmony exists between Messiah and Belial, and what do a believer and unbeliever have in common? What agreement can a temple of God make with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God says, I will live and walk among them. I'll be their God, and they will be my people. So I think that's pretty clear. God says, listen, light and darkness can't be together. If you have light, if you have God in you, it's impossible. How can the light and dark be together in your heart and your soul? It just doesn't even make any sense, okay? Another important scripture to remember here is Colossians 1:15. What does Colossians 1:15 says? It says, we have been rescued from the powers of darkness. Well, these deliverance ministries, what are they saying? They're saying you got saved and you still need to be delivered. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. You were freed from the powers of darkness, Colossians 1:15, and yet these deliverance ministries say you still need to break the bondage. It doesn't make any sense, friends. If you truly believe in Christ, then you have been rescued from the powers of darkness, and they cannot completely control you. I'm not saying that there can't be some sort of outward influence, temptations, and those kinds of things, but when we talk about demonization, controlling the body and the will to make it do exactly what that demon wants instead of what you want, no. That cannot happen with a believer. And two more scriptures that I think are really relevant here. One is 1 Corinthians 6:19, which simply says that it is the Holy Spirit that is in the believer. And I just don't even know how this can be that people say, oh, there is a demon in this person and the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any sense at all. And then finally, the last verse here is 1 John 5:18, which simply tells us that the devil cannot touch a believer. Let me read that one for you. 1 John 5:18. Look it up here real quick so I can read it word for word. We know that the person who has been born from God does not go on sinning, rather the Son of God protects him, and the evil one cannot harm them. That's pretty clear. I don't think that they can be demon-possessed if the evil one cannot harm them. Okay, now, friends, I want to present for you just a little bit of audio from a guy which you may have heard of. His name is Bob Larson. Please don't listen to his teaching, but I just want to show you how off his teaching really is. He calls himself the real exorcist, okay? Like I said, there is absolutely no office of exorcist in scripture. But anyway, so he has a YouTube channel, and he does these, like, you know, question and answers. And so somebody wrote in and said, well, my pastor said that Christians can't be demon possessed. And so here he is trying to answer this question in the face of very clear evidence from scripture that Christians can't be possessed. And so this lady that wrote in, her name was Edna, and I'll just play for you a little bit of his answer, and then we will talk about it.
Edna, I say this pastor simply doesn't know what he's talking about. He may be very sincere, and in fact, the majority of Bible-believing Christians believe just what this pastor told you.
Right, because that's what the Bible
experience
teaches.
Experience does not bear that out.
Okay, did you catch what he said right there? Maybe I'll just back that up and just play it one more time, okay? Listen very carefully what he said.
The majority of Bible-believing Christians believe just what this pastor told you. Well, experience does not bear that out.
Okay, he says, You know, she was talking about, well, my pastor said that Christians can't be possessed. And Bob Larson's answer is, well, the majority of Bible-believing Christians believe like you. But experience. Whoa, wait a minute. Experience. So Bob Larson is saying, yeah, well, that's what a lot of people believe who say they believe the Bible, but it's my experience that that's not true. Oh, friends, that's not the approach that we need to take to God's word. We never put our experience above God's word. Never, ever. Our experience must be seen through the spectacles of God's word, through the spectacles of our theology, and not the other way around. That's usually how we are tempted to read the Bible. And so, unfortunately, Bob Larson has made a very, very huge mistake in saying that, well, it's just experience that tells me that this is not true, okay? Now, I want to fast forward just a little bit and listen to another little bit towards the end of his answer to this lady. So basically, he goes on and says, yes, Christians can be possessed. And in fact, he said, in my experience, 90% of the people that I cast demons out of are Christians, which, by the way, is very useful for Bob Larson in his ministry to make Christians think that they might be possessed, because they're the ones that are going to want to go to him. And hopefully this great, you know, quote unquote, great exorcist will be able to get the demons out. Okay, let me play a little bit from the last part of his answer here to this Edna about whether or not Christians can be possessed.
I would encourage this pastor to read my book of spiritual warfare, or to read our book on curse breaking, and see the biblical facts set forth in those and the other books which we've written.
Okay, I just thought that was too good. I mean, so what does he tell this pastor who says Christians can't be possessed by demons? He says, oh, well, you should read my book. He doesn't say, well, why don't you tell your pastor to look at this verse or at that verse or open his Bible here or there? No, he says, well, I would tell his pastor to read my book. So sad, sad indeed. But folks, we have to be aware of these things and be very conscious about how we are interpreting our experience. Are we interpreting the Bible through our experience, or interpreting our experience into the Bible? Okay. And so what I want to end with is just say, okay, how do you understand these situations where, you know, I have another friend that, you know, says, oh, well, you know, I was at this exorcism thing and my friend went forward and she's a Christian. I know she's a Christian. And all of a sudden there's all these demons coming out of here. How do you understand that? Well, as we saw in scripture already, that because Christians cannot be demonized, there's two ways that we understand this. If we see someone who says that they're a Christian, and all of a sudden there's some sort of demonic manifestations, there are simply two options here. Either that person is a false believer, or what you are seeing are false demons. And it's really not so hard for either one to be true. And it's hard sometimes to know which one it is. But either that person is simply somebody who says they're a Christian, but they're not really a Christian, and what you're seeing may really, really be demons. Or it's somebody who is a Christian, but what you're seeing is not demons at all, but just some sort of emotional frenzied state. Of course, I suppose there's a third variant. It could be that that person is a false believer and it isn't demons either. It's just an emotionally frenzied state, okay? But those are the two options, the two main options. It's either a false believer or it's false demons in this situation. Again, I'm not denying that there are demonized people. I've seen them with my own eyes. But friends, a person whose trust is completely in God for their salvation. He cannot have a demon. He cannot be possessed because he is possessed by the Holy Spirit. And so if you are a believer today, do not fear. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus has overcome. He has overcome your sin. He has overcome all curses. He has overcome all spiritual authorities. And you are in him and you are completely safe. As long as you are perfectly, as you are trusting in his work for your salvation and not your own. And that's really what we have to come down to. I want to talk more, friends, probably in another episode about spiritual warfare, what that really is and what it looks like. But I think I'm going to end this episode for now. And want to remind you that this podcast is on iTunes. You can check it out. Now is the time. Caleb Succo. Just take a search. You'll find it pretty easily. Also, check out the show notes at succofamily.org. This is season 2, episode 5. And don't forget that there is a free book called Fighting Satan. And you can get that book by sharing this episode on your favorite social network and then putting a comment on the show notes, just letting me know that you shared it and that you would like to get the free book. I've got 2 copies to give out, so hurry up and do that. If there's more than 2 people that comment, I will just go ahead and do some sort of random drawing, okay? All right, friends, that's it for now. This is Caleb Succo coming to you from Odessa, Ukraine, where we serve a living and powerful Savior, where we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. Blessings.